excitement going on there.
Scores! Roll the highlight reel. 6-0 Flames.
You can put it in the win column.
Yeah, baby, yeah, baby, yeah, baby.
This is Flames Talk with Pat Steinberg and Aaron Vickers on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, we are back. Flames Talk returns after a little hiatus, and we're underway this hour. It is Monday, June 23rd, with Aaron Vickers of NHL.com. My name is Pat Steinberg. Welcome to the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. The moving sale's on now. Save big on safes, smart locks, keypads, and more. Visit CalgaryLockAndSafe.com. Hello, Vix.
Hello, Patrick. Good to see you back on this side of the pond. Ha, ha, ha. You see what I did there?
I do, yeah.
It's good. You thought I was really going to be corny, and then I did the laugh, and then you knew I wasn't serious.
Very clever.
It's good to be back. It's good to have Flames Talk back with you. We're available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. The text line open at 960-960 if you're listening live with us here on Sportsnet 960. The Fan and friends, welcome to Draft Week. It is 2025 NHL Draft Week. The first round of the 2025 NHL Draft goes Friday night, and then the remaining rounds 2 through 7 go Saturday morning and afternoon. And as per usual, we've got full coverage for you here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. We will have all the coverage for you this year, not on location. We will be here in Calgary for the 2025 NHL Draft because for the first time since COVID, and for the first time in a non-pandemic, the NHL is not doing it in a host city. Yes, Los Angeles will be hosting the draft, and all the top prospects will be in LA, but the teams are not commuting to a host city. That saw its final one for now last year in Vegas. And so all the teams, much like they do in the NBA and the NFL, will remain in their home cities to do the draft. And so that's where, as Flames Talk, seems like probably the right call to remain where the Flames are here in Calgary. So that is what's coming up. And there's a lot of things that in the next week we will have answered. There are some things that we wonder if we will get answered, but we don't know if some of these questions are going to get answered. So I figured as draft week gets going, Vix, we might as well try to highlight the big things that we'll be watching, because there's lots to keep an eye on from a Flames standpoint here over the next week, isn't there?
Oh, it's this is the fun time of year, particularly for me, but you go lead up into the draft, get through 2 days of the draft, and then you get right into free agency. It is an opportunity for 32 organizations, not just the Flames, to really shape what the future and the present looks like for each organization, each team. And I think that makes for some riveting storylines, some curious moves. And all in all, it's a very newsy week, I guess, would be the best way to put it.
And we'll see how newsy it ends up getting from a Flame standpoint. Like, it's already started very newsy around the league. Trevor Zegras has been traded on this Monday from Anaheim to Philadelphia in an absolute, like, Danny Briere gave up next to nothing to bring in a high upside player like Zegras. Gave up a fourth line center and a couple of, a second and a fourth.
Yeah, second this year, fourth.
Not exactly sure. I know that Pat Verbeek has been eager to say goodbye to Zegras for quite some time, but I'm still not precisely sure what Verbeek is thinking with that asking price. But I digress.
The problem is it didn't turn into a bidding war.
It did not. I mean,
or maybe that's what the bidding war ramped up to. Who knows? How I am on Zegras.
So. I know, and you're not alone. There's a lot of people, and I get it. And I don't think the Flames should have been the team going to get Zegras, because I don't think Zegras would have stayed here. But I just think it's a great move for Philadelphia.
Right.
Justin Kirkland signs on this Monday for the Flames. Some other signings around the league. Mason Lowry re-upped in Boston. So I do think it's going to be a newsy little stretch here around the league over the next week. So here are kind of the things that we'll be watching from a Flames standpoint. Question number one, and we will have an answer to this in some form or another in the next week. Who are the Flames going to select at number 18 and number 32 overall? The draft order is set. The Flames will have the 18th overall selection from New Jersey and the 32nd overall selection from Florida, the two-time defending Stanley Cup champions now. who will they select with their two first round picks? And I think it would be an absolute stunner if the Flames don't come away from this draft and even Friday's round one without at least one center baseman.
Right.
And so knowing that, what center will the Flames get their hands on in the first round? Let's just assume that Craig Conroy, Todd Button, and this group will select a center. Who's that going to be? Will they take the chance on Ryabkin? Will they still have an opportunity to take a shot at Roger McQueen at 18 overall? I know that you over at Future Considerations FC Hockey, you are not of the opinion that McQueen will be there at 18. And what about this Mason West fella that people are buzzing about all of a sudden? I know Elliot Friedman brought him up on a recent edition of 32 Thoughts. So that would be question number one. What does this Flames team end up adding to the organization with a couple of first round picks on Friday night?
I do think it would be a stunner if at 18 they came away with anything other than a center. And you ran through a bunch of names there. The two names that I'm probably most focused on at that point, particularly because you run through some mock drafts, you look at our rankings, you look at others' rankings, and you try to kind of determine how the first 17 picks are going to shake down before you get to Calgary. And by and large, I see two names that jump out most at me, and they're both Western Hockey League centers in Braden Coutts and Cole Reschny. So much so that it actually, if you surf over to NHLEntryDraft.com, we've actually got a comparison of those two players up currently. And they both are in and around that 6 foot range, the 175 pounds, but they play somewhat different games. And I thought it would be interesting to take a look and, you know, talk to our FC scouts and see, okay, who's better at this, who's better than that. So Coutts is kind of the consensus better skater with more compete, maybe even to a little bit better defensively, whereas Reschny has a little bit higher upside, is the better puck handler, is the better playmaker, has the higher offensive IQ. But those are two names that I think I've kind of zeroed in on is very likely to be available for Calgary, and having your pick between them, mm-hmm. you can kind of break them down. To your point, I don't think McQueen is going to slide that far. I think he's a player that goes somewhere in the early teens or the low early double digits. That's a perfect way to put it. Ryabkin, I'm not sold on being a first rounder, so he's not somebody that I necessarily have zeroed in on that 32 pick. There's still a chance he's got the upside to be. There's just some question marks in his conditioning, work ethic, things of that sort, that if a team feels comfortable that they can correct or remedy, then by all means, he's a first round talent. Mason West is an interesting one. He's kind of one of those late risers that you hear about between the combine and the time the draft happens. We've got him at number 58. He's a center out of Minnesota, 6'6", 210 pounds, dual sport athlete, was a star quarterback in high school, had collegiate offers from NCAA programs to be a quarterback at the college level, has chosen hockey, and he's kind of one of those players that is going to be, you draft him, and then you wait, and you wait, and you wait. And there could be some concern or consideration there that he might be a four-year player at the college level, and then...
He's going to Michigan, right?
I believe so, yes. Now, here's the kind of the question marks around him. Very raw, a centerman, massive size, 49 points in 31 games this season at the Minnesota high school level, which sounds productive. That's still only 87th in terms of Minnesota high schoolers in scoring.
Yes.
87th overall. So it's not as if he absolutely shredded the high school circuit. He showed some things late season joining the USHL. I believe it was Fargo. But there's still so many questions about what he is, what he can be. But the size, of course, is tantalizing, especially in today's. You watch what the Florida Panthers just did to the Edmonton Oilers.
Yep.
You can't tell me size and aggression didn't play a part of that.
That's why I just wonder, like, there's people all of a sudden buzzing about him. I know Elliot Friedman brought him up as a potential sleeper first-round pick. And it just
wouldn't
feels like
me.
if you're sitting there at number 32 and there is a big, what are the?
6'6 and roughly 210.
So, and
as an 18-year-old.
Is he even 18 yet? Isn't he still 17?
Well, his draft season, 18th season.
Yeah, yeah.
He turns 18 in August.
So we're talking about a guy who's not even 18 yet, 6'6", 210, which means when he fills out on a college workout.
And some places have him at close to 220 already. He's going to be a guy that's 6'6", 235, 240.
And this guy is going to be absolutely chucking pounds around in the Michigan workout room Monday through Thursday and then playing on Friday, Saturday. So, like, we could be talking about, after 2 or 3 years at Michigan, 6'6", 225, 230.
Oh, easily. Easily a 230 guy.
Beast. If the Flames were to take a player like that at number 32 overall, like, sign me up all day, every day. Hell, even if he turns out to be his clone, Anders Lee, who went to Edina High,
literally,
who played quarterback and who chose the NHL. Like, Mason West is Anders Lee. Like, he's the same
guy.
The
comparables are through the roof on those guys.
Even if he turns out to be Anders Lee at 32.
Well, I mean, you take Anders Lee all day
at 32. Absolutely you would. So, I don't know. It just feels like that's the if Ryabkin isn't the guy, then maybe Mason West at number 32 overall. I'm curious if he's a guy who's still around. And if you're the Flames, you need to make picks that potentially can pay off with the higher end, right?
He's to me, he's kind of a risk-reward guy. Again, he's going to need a lot of development in college. And
like,
once
there's
you
a
get
higher
to that
ceiling with this guy than maybe some of the other potential centers we could be talking about.
Yes and no, depending on who slides and where. Like, Cole McKinney is from the national team, the national development program, is a guy that we have at 20 but could be available at 32. Like, that whole back third of the first round in rankings, even you can go mid-first, back, it's going to be so wide open. West, I might be a little hesitant on. I haven't seen enough of him. I've seen a couple of games, but haven't seen enough. But he's one of those guys that you look at, and you're not drafting a player in the first round of the 2025 draft to be in your opening night lineup in October. This is a longer-term play, as are most of these guys. There are only going to be 3 or 4 guys that jump from this draft class to play in the NHL next season, 4 at most. You're trying to project 3, 4, 5 years down the road. Where is he at in his development? And I can certainly see teams looking at him and going, yep, he's going to be better than a lot of these guys in that range.
My other draft, like, fully draft-related question, and we'll also get an answer to this in the next week, guaranteed, is will the Flames move up in the first round? And I think they'll try, or at the very least, I think they'll be very open to trying and very open to doing so. They know they've got some draft capital. They know they've got the ability to potentially use some of that capital to move up. Do I see them moving into the top 5? As we talked about before our hiatus, that seems a little bit
ambitious,
but maybe more possible with this year's draft than in other years. But again, the thing that is most tantalizing for me is, like, could the Flames move from 18 to 12 to take McQueen? That, like, if they're going to move up, that Roger McQueen pick is the one that makes a lot of sense to me, because he would be the last high ceiling center that could still be attainable. There's a lot of questions about the injury, all the type of stuff, but That's the one that really interests me, is do they move up to try to get into position to take that specific player?
Well, and you look at some of the teams in and around that spot, like, I'm sure Buffalo, for example, would rather have some talent now than a guy that might be available in 2 years for them. Anaheim's starting to peak. I wonder if they're more skewed towards players that can make an impact now. You look at the Pittsburgh Penguins, and maybe not so much the Pittsburgh Penguins because they've sort of declared their path, but the New York Rangers, the Detroit Red Wings at 13, Columbus at 14. You just kind of wonder if some of those teams, and you hear the one thing I always try to caution around the draft is 90% of what you hear is going to be BS. But we've heard so many rumblings about teams looking to do something at the draft that there's too much smoke to not be fire for some of these organizations looking to forego a 2025 top 10, top 12, top 14 pick, and favoring something that can help them more immediately.
And we'll have plenty more draft-specific coverage for you coming up this week. Lots more draft experts. Aaron Vickers, of course, we will lean on his expertise for this year's draft class with his purveying over at FC Hockey. So lots more draft coverage as we move towards round one on Friday. But the last big question that I think a lot of Flames fans have and remains the biggest question surrounding this organization right now is, will we see a Rasmus Anderson trade sometime around the NHL draft? And I want to play you this. This is Elliot Friedman from the latest 32 Thoughts, which is available right now wherever you get your podcasts. He and Kyle dropped the latest 32 Thoughts on Monday morning. And here's where things are with Rasmus Anderson from Elliot's perspective. And, well, I think it gives you a pretty good idea of where this thing is heading right now.
I just heard, I don't know what the numbers were here, but I heard they were so far apart that it was like, when it kind of got around the league, a couple of people said to me, it's just, that's when you know it's time, right? Because the number comes to you, to Calgary, and you just kind of know, okay, this number means more than just the contract. And I think Anderson feels it's time. And I think Calgary understands that. Like, I don't think there's any hard feelings here. I don't think he's got anything bad to say about Calgary. I don't think they've got anything bad to say about him. But you get to the point where it's time. And I think everybody in the league sees that. I think Calgary sees that. I don't know if it's been communicated to them in so many words, but you reach a point where everyone kind of recognizes for a player, it's time. And it's hit there for Calgary, and it's hit there for Anderson. He's been a really good player for them. He turned out to be a great draft pick and a really good Calgary Flame. Again, I don't think anyone here has anything bad to say about anyone else, but it's time for something new for him.
So that's Elliot from the latest 32 Thoughts. We'll hear from him again in just a second. But so now numbers have been exchanged. Now the word is that they're quite far apart, which tracks. It kind of felt like that's the way things were going. You know, when we talked about this a number of weeks ago on Flames Talk, the kind of initial word that I had heard was that the Anderson camp was a little bit closer to what Jacob Chychrun signed his deal for with the Washington Capitals, which is what, 8x9 is what he ended up signing with
right
the Caps.
In that neighborhood, yeah.
And, you know, maybe the Flames would be a little bit closer to the Neil Pionk extension that the Winnipeg Jets signed with Pionk a few weeks later, which was significantly less in the 6-year range and under $7 million on the AAV there. And it sounds like from the reporting you're hearing right now, that's kind of where things are, is, you know, the Anderson camp a little bit closer to where Chychrun was hoping, in the Flames camp a little bit closer to maybe those Pionk numbers. And again, I don't know what the numbers are, but that was kind of one of the initial things that had been suggested to me from a couple of different places. And now you hear from Elliot, you hear from Frank, who will join us on Tuesday's program, Frank Saravalli, that when the two sides first exchange their numbers to start the conversation, there's a pretty significant chasm. Then you hear Elliot say, yeah, that's kind of your indication that this is time and it's probably going to move towards a trade. The question then becomes, now, if they're unable to bridge what sounds like a significant gap, does a deal get made between now and Friday night?
Yeah, it's very curious, the timeline for this, because I can absolutely see it happening in the next week, and I can also see it happening all the way to next trade deadline, to be perfectly honest with you. I don't have a good sense of when it could happen, and there's a debate to be had over when is he most valuable. Is it this week? First round picks, which I would think would be one of the priorities, have never been more expensive than the week of the draft. Then you get through free agency and maybe there's a team or two that swing and miss and you've got a bigger landscape to find a match, because there's not so much of a tight cap compression, although his salary is very palatable, even if you retain some.
Yep.
Or is he the premier right shot defenseman at the trade deadline next year? And he plays, perfectly honestly, he plays better than he did this season, ups his value both from a personal standpoint in signing an extension and or, you know, whether that's with the Flames or somewhere else, or you go out to market with him and he's worth more on the trade market because he simply plays better. there's so many different ways I can see this unfold, and I'm not certain which way it goes, to be
honest. And let's just say, for sake of argument, that the Flames came in pretty close to Pionk, and Anderson came in pretty close to Chychrun. Well, Chychrun was 8 times 9. Pionk was 6 times 7. So that is a $2 million. And again,
per $2 million,
$2 million gap on the AAV and a 2-year gap on the term. Like, that is a massive, massive difference if that's where things were. And again, we don't know what the numbers exchange were. And so I don't know how fully accurate that is. But again, that was kind of what the initial word was before we got to this point. And now you're hearing Elliot and Frank talk about how far apart things are. You're just like, okay, maybe this does, maybe grinding away to try to get towards middle ground, maybe it's just not realistic with this situation. And so if that's the case, maybe a trade does make sense. One of the things that Elliot mentioned on 32 Thoughts was, if Ekblad re-signs in Florida, well, now Anderson is the premier right shot guy available. If Ekblad's available in free agency, well, now there's another guy similar age who can clearly play top pairing, top 4 minutes. Now there's another right shot defenseman that's available out there. But if Ekblad stays in Florida, now it's Anderson as the potential guy to go get, right? And that adds another wrinkle to this conversation too.
Absolutely. And that's where it sort of falls into the timeline is, are you better to trade Anderson prior to the draft again? And if you're looking to get both players now and for the future, you're zeroing in on a first round pick. They're expensive at this time of year. But if you get past July 1 and Rasmus Anderson is the premier option on the blue line, then his value is probably higher. And then again, you wait until next trade deadline, perhaps. He's still the premier option on the right shot side on defense. Who knows what those values are?
A little bit more. This was Elliot on the trade side of things, as to maybe where things sit on different trade options that could be available for Rasmus Anderson right now.
All I can say is that I heard people were serious. I'll tell you what one team said to me. They said that, you know, everybody's trying to sell tickets. Everyone wants to sell hope. Everyone wants to make their team better. You don't want to be, if you really believe that Anderson can help you, you don't want to be the person who didn't get him because you were fooling around, right? So, I mean, I don't know what I would say the percentage is, but I've heard there's legit interest. One of the teams said to me, someone's going to be very serious about this. So a few of us should be.
So that's kind of where things sit on the trade interest on the Rasmus Anderson front as it stands right now. The question for, like, right now as we're setting up draft week becomes, does something happen this week? Does something happen between now and Friday? And honestly, it feels like if something were to happen, it would be Thursday or Friday that something were to be consummated right now, because that's when you're getting really up on draft day, and maybe a team ups their offer a little bit to make it so that Craig Conroy, yeah, okay, now's the time to do it. But the one thing that I can tell you, full on fact, Craig Conroy is willing to be patient on this one again. I do think the ideal situation would be not to have this. If you're not going to be able to get to middle ground on a contract, then the ideal would be not to have this carry over into training camp and to be able to get something done this summer. But I don't think, Vix, it needs to happen at this year's draft. I mean, hell, maybe the Flames would value a 2026 first round pick higher if they could get a team, you know, a team that feels like they're going to be a playoff team. If they can get a 2026 first and get it unprotected and get another chip, as somebody said, any chance you could trade Raz for an unprotected first in 2026? If so, do that and get one more ticket for the Gavin McKenna lottery. And if you can do that, maybe that is more valuable and something the Flames look at and say, that's something we'd really like, as opposed to something in this year's draft. So I don't know. I don't think it is a guarantee that if a trade's going to happen. And boy, you listen to Elliot, it sure does feel like a trade's going to happen. I don't think it needs to get done between now and the draft. I think you can move into July, and once free agency's open, especially if Ekblad re-signs in Florida, I don't think you need to get it done this week. But I also think there's a decent chance. Like, you can't sit here and write off the fact that something could happen this week.
Right. And if I'm sitting in Craig Conroy's chair and I believe that the return would be greater in July or August or October or early March next year, I'm holding out for that higher return. And I can see both sides. And I got this impression at locker cleanout. I got this impression at the World Championship, is both sides are very understanding of the other's perspective in this. And I, as you mentioned, Craig Conroy and Rasmus Anderson have a great relationship. I don't think this is something that sours if it's not done by the end of the first round or by July 1 or by September 1.
What's your gut? Something happened on draft day?
Going off of that, I'm going to say no.
Yeah, I don't think so.
That is pure gut. That is no inside intel. That is me reacting either. To the question, and I'm going to say I don't think so. To that texter's point, I could see the scenario where Craig Conroy is patient and believes that a first-round pick next year is more valuable than one in the 20s this year. For example, I'd rather have 21 next year than 21 in a week from now or 5 days from now.
Look, I do think that it is very possible a deal does happen this week, because a team might say, hey, we want to get out in front of this. Let's up the ante and give Conroy a deal that he's really
the Elias Lindholm return, kind of, not necessarily in what it is or the package, but in the, all right, you convinced me to do this right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what it'd take from my perspective.
But if you don't get that,
then you're fine.
Then you're fine. And you can wait until the summertime. But I think that everybody would probably agree, not having the distraction, not having the injury risk, not having the risk of what happened with Hanifin and his trade return happen, all of those things, it would probably still be the most ideal to get something done this summer before training camp begins. We shall find out. It is draft week. We'll have full coverage of the NHL draft for you on Friday and Saturday. Steinberg and Vickers, I don't know why I went third person. You and me will have full coverage. I think Logo and Maddie will be helping us out as well. So looking forward to draft day Friday and then into the second round on Saturday. And we'll see how it ends up going with a remote draft for the first time since COVID. As we start to wrap things up this hour on the program, Vickers is on Twitter at AA Vickers. Thanks to Shan Vergie and Cam Hughes, our outstanding producers. And this hour's been The Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. The moving sale's on now. Save big on safes, smart locks, keypads, and more. Visit CalgaryLockAndSafe.com.